great. Well, thanks again for taking the time out of your morning. So you got the questions there that I was going to ask you about. First one is, how did you get started in the drone industry?
Several years ago, when they were first proposing that we could mount sensors on UAVs and fly them over fields, I was interested in it. I've been working in precision agriculture since the 1990s. This is just an extension of that. We had a group on campus, which was a consortium, sort of a joint venture between the State Department of Transportation, the Aviation Division, and our Mechanical and Aerospace Engineering group on UAVs and drones. So I affiliated with that. We started following what could be done. And then, of course, the 107 rules were finalized. So I created a team of pilots here in my department so that we could start capturing some data on agricultural sites. At present, we've got a team of, let's see, five or six pilots and one or two more that are preparing to take the pilot exam so that we can spread out a little bit more effectively. We were interested primarily in the ability to capture a lot more data and capture it quickly and capture on a more timely basis, and that's what the UAV offered us.
Oh, okay. And one of the questions I had is, compared to other means of surveys, how often are drones used, and are you finding that it's increasing every year as far as the drone usage in agriculture?
I think it would be on the general trend would be increasing every year. What we did early on was fly every week. Now our objectives are a little bit different. Now we don't necessarily fly every week, but we fly several times a year. On average, we're probably flying every 2 to 3 weeks over a given target, and by target, I mean the field. And we're collecting a lot of different kinds of data. We're collecting multispectral imagery, which is different wavelengths of light. We're collecting true color, which is RGB, or photo imagery. We're collecting thermal imagery. We've done some work with LIDAR, and there's several other sensors of interest out there that people are looking into. Our primary tools are the color imagery, RGB, and multispectral. We've got one or two colleagues that are working with hyperspectral. That's a good tool from the research perspective, but it's going to be cost prohibitive from the producer's perspective. But the advantage that we see with the UAV or the drone is that it gives the farmer, the grower, the manager, the crop consultant, whoever's doing the piloting, gives them the opportunity to collect data a little bit more frequently, and control when and where he collects it. For example, if it's a perfectly overcast day, as long as it's not raining, I mean, that's ideal conditions for flying the UAV and collecting crop data. Whereas you're not going to collect any data with a satellite.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things we look at, is the ability to capture data on a more timely basis.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Okay. And that kind of answers my next question. I was asking about the growth potential. Certainly seems like it could be a cost-effective way for farmers to see what's going on with their crops.
There's a curve, and I forget the name of it, called the technology adoption curve, where early on you see a lot of interest and it skyrockets, then hits a peak, it starts coming down, and then levels off. We're probably on the backside of that slope now. A lot of the people that were jumping into it really didn't know what they were looking for, may have dropped back out, but we're seeing right now a lot of strong players in the market. Some of the UAV companies have established themselves, they've stood the test of time, they've got quality products out there. So we're starting to see a lot more stable growth, not, you know, rapid flash growth, but stable growth. And the growth that we're seeing, I think, is of people that recognize that, yes, indeed, we can get something out of this technology, so let's get it well entrenched.
Right, right. And the people you're talking about are people that actually operate the drones?
Correct.
Okay. My next question, so it seems like the drone, well, my next question was, do you see any advantage of drone surveys over other methods? But it sounds like they're just as good, but maybe easier to get more frequent data.
You can get more frequent data, and in many cases, you get higher resolution data.
Okay.
Satellite imagery, we're limited as to how small an object we can detect on the ground. What's our spatial resolution? How many feet on the ground are represented by one pixel in the camera image? With the UAV, we can get sub-inch if we wanted to. It takes a long time, obviously, to cover large
Wow.
acreages, but we can get sub-inch resolution data. And for some things, that's very, very effective. For some applications, that may be overkill. We may not need that kind of resolution, but the capability is there, and that's something we can't get from any other platform right now.
Okay, wow, that's incredible. So I've talked to some farmers that have that use drones to survey the crops, and they send so they'll take the they'll have a contractor come in that operates a drone and survey the field, and what they'll do is send it out to be looked at. Is that something common in the industry?
Yes, that's very common. A lot of farmers don't want to take the time or are reluctant to take the time to learn drone operations and how to process data and everything. You can't, particularly on the processing side, flying the drones is easy. On the processing side, the learning curve can be pretty steep. So a lot of the farmers are indeed employing consultants. And consultants come in several forms. In some cases, it is a dedicated crop consultant. That's what he does, is provide consulting services for a multitude of crops for farmers within a geographic region. In some cases, it's a fertilizer or seed chemical company that is also adding the UAV capability to their portfolio so that they can go out and offer the service to farmers as well. So in the most case, we're seeing a lot of people in the consultant class doing the actual operating and processing. We do have some farmers, though, that want to do everything in-house, and they'll go ahead and buy the UAV. Some of them, all they're really interested in is the RGB imagery, the color imagery. They're looking for patterns in the field. They're looking for anomalies, and that tells them what they want to know. And other cases, though, they're digging a little bit deeper, and they're running the multispectral sensors, or in some cases, the higher powered sensors, to try to get a little bit more detailed data. And it's not just limited to row crops. We've also got interest from livestock operations, and particularly flying thermal data, so they can track herd health, herd status, and different things using infrared imagery, infrared sensors.
Okay. Wow, yeah, that's amazing. I hadn't heard that about the livestock. So the companies that you see that are in business, and this is what they do, they specialize in agricultural surveys. Are they usually individuals, or are they employing a lot of drone operators that are going out there in the field and collecting data?
Just a little bit of both. I know one case, for example, a farmer, and his primary source of income, of course, is the farm, and he's in partnership with others in his family. But he acquired a drone, and he was seeing so much benefit out of it that he actually started a company, and he's offering the service to other farmers in his region. So we see some of that. Most of them, there are a lot of sole proprietor type consulting operations. Most of them, though, there's multiple people involved, anywhere from two or three up to a dozen or so.
Okay. And are they the people that are operating, are they out of state? Do they travel, or it kind of are you finding that they're local and cover a particular region?
Most of them are local. They cover a geographic region, usually centered around their base of operations. They have a clientele that they've established over the years, back before the UAV became a part of the repertoire. So they're covering from that base. We've also seen in a few cases, and this, a little bit of friction to start with, but the aerial applicators, used to be called crop dusters, but now they're preferred. Handle with aerial applicators. They're spraying and applying crop protection products from the air. They were a little bit concerned about the UAV because obviously if they run into one, that's a major disaster. Some of them are also now starting to adopt that as an extension of their platform and an extension of what they're offering to their clients.
Okay.
Is something that...
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's something both sides have to be aware of. You're sharing airspace, so we've got to make sure we stay on top of the safety rules.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Yes, I've read about drones actually spraying as well. Is that a little bit what you're talking about?
Yes, in some cases, that's it. Some of the aerial applicators are using the drone just to enhance their scouting capabilities to offer extended or enhanced services. But yes, there is some interest in aerial application. There's a number of units on the market now. They range anywhere from barely able to carry a liter of product to several liters of product. And they're very good for spot spraying. There are some people that are setting them up so that they can spray continuously. But you got to have some infrastructure there to keep them reloading both batteries and product to cover things on a timely basis.
Okay.
But yes, there is some interest in spraying from the UAV.
And I you kind of touched on this question a little bit, but I was wondering if you see that farmers have an interest in being trained, maybe a business coming in and training them on how to operate the drone.
A few do. Again, usually it's the farmers that are a little bit more tuned into the technological side of the operation. They don't mind learning how to operate the drone. Most of the drone applications or the drone flights that we operate in agriculture are under autonomous flight, which means we program the UAV to fly the pattern. And the pilots, you're doing basically three things. Number one, you're launching it. Number two, you're monitoring it during its flight so that you can take control if anything goes wrong. And number three, you're landing it. But as far as the pattern over the field, that's programmed in, and that flight is purely autonomous.
Okay.
But you still, the operator still needs to be a trained UAV pilot so that they know how to take control and bring it down in an emergency if they have to. And all of my team certainly are.
Right. Okay. Right. Yes, I think with additional regulations and more drone pilots out there, I think it's being recognized that the safety factor needs to be addressed. And I seen that Edgecombe Community College has a program now to train. Yes, yeah, it's
very good.
I think I read it was an 18 credit hour course that includes the certification, FAA certification, and a lot dealing with safety and regulation too.
Very good. I had not heard of that one. That's good to know.
Yeah, I think I think the first program starts soon, in a couple weeks or maybe something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think community colleges are definitely recognizing that there needs to be more drone operators out there, I think.
Yep. We've seen that in other states, so it's good to see that taking hold here as well. Elizabeth City State University also has a program at the bachelor's level.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep.
I did not know that. Okay.
Yep. And a part of it is UAV. It's maybe a little bit more broad-based than just UAV, but they have the only program I'm aware of in the UNC system.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to check into that. Do you have any suggestions for somebody looking to start a drone-based business?
Number one, of course, identify the need. You can't just buy a drone and say, okay, here I am. You need to do the homework. You need to see what the need is in their area. Is it farmers? Is it insurance? Is it utility? There's a lot of different industries that utilize UAVs, but to identify a need, line up some clients, see what kinds of data they need, what kind of processing do they need, what kind of end result do they need or want, and again, structure that around your capabilities.
Mm-hmm. Sure, absolutely. Well, concludes all the questions I have. I really do appreciate the help. And boy, if I could ever return the favor, I'd be happy to do anything I could. There was one other thing. I mean, is there anybody else that you might suggest that maybe I could talk to, a reference, or about the drone industry?
Yeah, there's a one would be very good. His name is Tom Zagowski.
Okay.
He is at NC State. He is part of that consortium that I was telling you about early on. I believe he's director of flight operations, but I will forward you his email contact and you can reach out to him. He's involved from a number of different perspectives. He's done some work with us in agriculture. He's done some work with DOT. He's done some work with emergency management. So he'll be a good all-around point of reference for you, I think.
Well, awesome. I appreciate it. I appreciate the help. And yeah, like I say, if I could ever do anything, let me know. I'm really appreciative.
And I
And
will get that consent form back to you as well as Tom's email contact information later today.
okay, sounds good. Sounds good.
All right.
All right, Dr. Robertson, I appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, have a great day. Bye.